Welcome everyone to the City Council meeting at the City of Fairhaven on January 24th, 2022. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Ms. City Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Yes, your Mayor. The Honorable Mayor Mario Avery.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Palland.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
And City Attorney, Mr. Rory Starkey.
Present.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, we'll have our invocation by Pastor Garrett Taylor, Open Word Christian Ministries. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy that you lavishly bestow upon us each and every day. Your word declares that in all of our ways for us to acknowledge you, that you would direct our path. And as a mayor and city council, make decisions concerning the safety and progress and well-being of us. Lead them and guide them with every agenda item with your wisdom and insight. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 I guess technically we should do the Pledge of Allegiance, even though we're individually apart. Can we at least say the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes.
Okay. We can start. Our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Members of council, we're gonna go through the adoption of the city council agenda. I'm gonna ask for a slight modification for the council agenda. I'm gonna ask that the public comments portion be done prior to the public hearing. That way, when we get into speakers for the public hearing, we can solely concentrate on those men and women that want to speak about this particular agenda item. And that will be our order from this day forward. The public comment will be before coming after the adoption of the agenda. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion is made and properly second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, we will have our public comment. Ms. Dina, we will have 30 minutes. She'll be available for public comment. Each speaker shall be limited to 3 minutes. However, a speaker may transfer his or her 3 minutes to another speaker, but no speaker shall be permitted to speak for more than 6 minutes further in the event. If more than 10 speakers desire to speak, each speaker will be limited to 2 minutes and no speaker may speak for more than 4 minutes. Issues raised at this time are generally referred to the city administrator for review. Responses will be provided at a later date. Ms. Ray, how many speakers do we have?
Right now, I only have one, Mr. Warren Tillery.
Okay, Mr. Tillery, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Warren Tillery, I am a lawyer representing the applicant, which is Trinity Fairburn, LLC. This will be related to a plat approval on Highway 74 and Meadow Glen Parkway. I've been before the mayor and council a number of times over the past few months. The applicant has revised its plat basically based on the only feedback that we have so far, which was from now Mayor Pro Tem, Ms. Portis Jones, related to the question she asked at the last meeting that I was here, which is whether my client would consider subdividing the plat into two tracks rather than three. So the revised plat that you'll see later when you get to this item on the agenda, Ms. Jones, you'll notice that this plat actually subdivides it out into two tracks. That is the only feedback we've gotten so far. And therefore, you know, we think that this one complies with all of the pertinent requirements in the ordinance and under state law. We hope that with that change, that will address any further concerns council had. So we would ask that you approve the plat when time comes for that. To the extent there are any technical questions that maybe go beyond what I can answer, Mark Rainier is also on the line. and we'll be glad to talk with you about it then. But again, we'd request that you approve the Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended approval, and staff has verified that the plat meets the requirements under the ordinance.
Okay, thank you, sir, for your comments. That's our only speaker. Members of council, please excuse me. We need to actually adopt our city council minutes for the January 10th, 2022 council meeting. You have before you the minutes for the 2022, January 10th, 2022 minutes. Is there a motion?
So moved.
May I have a correction?
Yeah, yes, ma'am. I'm going to get to that. Is there a second?
No, there's a correction.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Okay. I was going to ask for corrections after I get a second to get it to the floor. Okay. But go ahead and give you corrections.
Yes. On page one of the minutes, if the correct spelling of my nephew's name, it's D O M I N I Q U E. Okay. And it is spelled correctly in my comments. So thank you for that.
Is there any other corrections? Seeing none, is there a second to adopt the minutes?
Second, Councilman Heath.
Second motion has been made. No other corrections. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, we will go to our public hearing. Planning and zoning, in this case, we will now open a public hearing for 30 minutes. We'll be given for a public hearing for those that support it, and 30 minutes for those who oppose it. And then we will have a rebuttal period if necessary. At this time, there will be, I'm going to ask for those men and women that choose to speak in opposition to this item, would you please start to speak? And you can see public hearing rules are right there on the screen. If there's anyone here that wants to speak in opposition, would you please raise your hand and the city clerk will acknowledge it. Seeing that there's none in opposition, is there anyone here wish to speak in support of this project? Seeing no.
There's a hand raised. There's a hand raised.
Okay, Ms. Ray.
Well, I do not see that.
Greg Hecht.
Yes. Is this all right now?
Yes.
Okay. Mayor and council persons, I'm Greg Hecht, and I really appreciate the opportunity to present this application to you. It's an honor to be with the mayor and council, and I have to say your planning and community development folks are absolutely wonderful, gave us great guidance, and really are just tip-top in terms of kindness and professionalism. I am here with Andy Chandler of Lennar, as well as Wendy Gallagher of Rochester & Associates. We are representing Lennar Homes on this project, which is a longstanding national home builder since 1954. They are active in 60 communities across Atlanta. They have a concept, as you know, near Highway 138 and Vickers Road, which will have single family homes and attached townhomes. It's on five tax parcels on the south end of Highway 138 and about 0.8 miles east of Roosevelt Highway. The city staff, which has been extremely nice, extremely kind, has recommended approval of the project with conditions, which Lennar has agreed to. The advisory board gave unanimous support for approval of the project also, and community outreach. There were over 180 letters that were sent out to the community twice, and a community meeting that was held as well. We also have engineer Bradley Dunkel also assisting us as well, who did design on this work, which we're grateful for. This project relates to approximately two issues. It relates to rezoning, which we're asking a request for this to be rezoned from its present zoning to RCT, from C1 to RCT, and also a variance on the townhome width down from 30 feet to 20 because of the way these are done in the attachment, as well as how they're consistent with the neighboring properties. On the western side of Vickers Road, if you're looking at the site plan in your packet, you'll see the single family housing. On the eastern side, you'll see the townhomes. The development amenities include walking trails, pocket parks, over 5.3 acres of open space. You will also see 5-foot sidewalks on the Vickers Road side. There are 50 single family housing, detached two-story houses. These are basically between 1,800 square feet, approximately over 1,800 square feet to 2,300 square feet, all with two-car garages. There are 112 townhomes. You'll see renderings with 1,670 square feet to 1,780 square feet, two-story, three-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath. These are consistent with neighboring properties. There'll be a mixture of brick, stone, or other cementitious materials. No vinyl on those townhomes. This will be a new project subject to new heightened architectural standards. It should raise the fair market value of many homes in the area. The single family housing values or sales should start around $320,000 and up. The townhomes should start at $270,000 and up. The tax revenue from this area will go from basically $1,500 in revenue and $118,000 in fair market value on these five parcels to around $30 million in fair market value for taxation purposes, which we know goes to the county and then some reverts to the city based on the way the appropriations is done, but it should generate tax revenue for the community. It will generate consumer support for new businesses in the area, as well as existing businesses in Fairburn. You have the packet in front of you with the site plan. You should have the renderings in the packet as well as some of the, you should have the site plan. You should also have, you know, as lawyers, we have to mention, of course, our constitutional notice, which you should have in your packet as well, which mentions that we preserve our constitutional rights, our due process rights, our equal protection rights, our property rights against arbitrary and capricious decisions, and the right to use our property as vested by the U.S. and state constitution and state constitutions and as vested under 42 U.S.C. 1983 at sequence, but that should be in your packet. Basically, we convey to you this project. We think it'll be a great project within the Fairburn City, and we are grateful for your kind consideration and review. Andy and I, as well as Wendy and Bradley, sit before you, happy to answer any questions, and are grateful for your review. Thank you.
Council. You have before you a rezoning with a concurrent variance, Mayor to Council rezoning of 26.665 acres on Vickers Road from C1 neighborhood commercial to RCT residential condominium townhouse. Is there a motion?
Mayor Pro Tem Portis Jones.
Okay.
Second, Councilwoman Davis.
Okay. That motion has been made and properly second. Is there any comments or questions by council?
Yes, Mayor, I have questions.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Jones.
So thank you, Mr. Heck, for presenting this project. A couple questions, and one of them will be for our planning and zoning director. Mr. Heck, the community input, could you share with us some of the comments that were made by the residents in the area, and how did you modify the project based on those comments?
So I think, as I, you know, my understanding is there may have been some questions about amenities. There are walking trails and pocket parks. I believe I may want to turn that over, actually, if it's okay, to our engineer, to Wendy. Wendy, are you there? Wendy Gallagher, who is also on it, because I think she was more involved in the response to the community comments. And I know
I
saw
it. I'm here.
Can you respond more to the Mayor Pro Tem's comments about the community participation meeting and our response to that?
Sure. We actually had more questions than concerns when we met with the public. And there were several questions that they had regarding just the buffers, the open space. They were actually wondering how soon the houses would be available. We had several people interested in purchasing. We had questions on the materials that would be used. We had questions regarding the road improvements. Basically, we sent out a letter to the public answering all of these questions. And we also provided that to Tarika, so she would have that on hand. Is there anything specific that you would like me to go over on the questions?
Yes. So if you could just talk a little bit about the specific question and some of the answers that you provided, because I don't think that was included in our packet, was it, Ms. Beeks?
No, it wasn't. But I,
okay.
Wendy, if you don't have them, I have it here in front of me.
That'd
be great, Tarika.
It's about two pages, but I'll go through them. And you please let me know.
Well, just in general, I mean, I'm sure their questions were similar in scope. So if you could just talk about them conceptually and then how the plans were modified to address those concerns or issues.
So what Wendy pretty much just said, a lot of the questions are really, was just kind of not necessarily generic, but not really in opposition of the project. But questions were about how many bedrooms, how many floors, would it be a basement on some of the homes, how many lots, architectural shingles and materials, the projected price points, the single family townhomes to start at around 320 and up, the single family detached to start at 270 and up, the sizes of the home as far as the bedroom layouts, four bedroom, two baths, two car garage, three bedrooms, two and a half baths for the townhomes with a one car garage, what the current zoning on the property and what is the zoning requested. They're going from C1 to RCT. There was a question in reference to detention ponds and retention ponds on the property. And they answered that by stating that there will be two detention ponds required by the city. Amenities was asked, what will be the amenities, walking trails, a passive pocket park, open space, green space, the percentage of open space that's allowed, that's required rather, 5.33 acres is what the applicant is proposing. What about the shortage of building supplies? Lanier is the second largest builder in the nation. Therefore, there was no expectations of building supplies due to purchasing power. It mentioned parking spaces required. Two off-street parking spaces are required to be accommodated for each single family home. What are the sizes of the garage, the two car garage at 400 square feet for the single family detached, and the one car is 190 square feet up to 260 for the single family attached. Any concerns on the impact on the current infrastructure to infrastructure, schools and police? Lanier pointed out that the current use provides about $1,500 a year to the tax base. The proposed development expands the tax base to an estimated $500,000 a year. And then what are the dates of the rezoning was given? Will signs be posted on the property to announce the rezoning hearing? And yes, is the answer. What are the side yard separation requirements? The answer is 10 minimums, feet separation between single family detached, a 25 foot minimum separation between the single family attached, and a 20 foot minimum separation between, well, that was when they were originally going to do some commercial, so that doesn't count. And will there be a HOA? The answer is yes.
Okay, thank you so much for that. And some of that was addressed in the conditions that you've included, and I see that's quite extensive. I just ask if you would make sure that the conditional items are posted on the website for public review, since it's quite extensive. So thank you. That concludes my questions.
Okay. Mayor Avery?
Ma'am, go ahead.
This is Councilwoman Davis. I would like to, Ms. Peaks, if you would stay alert. I have some comments and maybe a question for you. I want to say that once I reviewed the packet, I was very impressed with the builder's accommodations and reach out to our community, not just one time, but twice. So I was very impressed with that in reference to the builder really trying to talk with our community and find out what their concerns were and to try to address them. So I was very impressed by that. Also, I think I saw where they actually modified some of their drawings or what have you, which I can't speak to in detail. And Ms. Peaks, would you be able to address that or share that information?
Which drawings are you, the site plan is you're referring to?
I know there were some modifications due to the community input. And I think it was maybe two that they changed. Are they modified?
The only thing that I, and Wendy may have to help me with this one, but the only thing that was modified initially was the, when they first came into our office, they were trying to rezone to PD, but that did not work. So there was a commercial component to the project. So that was removed and the open space was increased and the amenities area changed some bit.
Okay, were there any concerns about restricting rentals or anything like that in the covenants, in the HOA covenants?
Not that I'm aware of. Or either maybe Mr. Heck, they might be able to answer that question, but I wasn't aware of any concerns about that.
I'm not aware of anyone expressing concerns in the community meetings or our firm. And I don't know if Lenar is. I mean, our folks are here, and if someone's heard that concern, you know, they can speak up, but I mean, our firm hasn't heard it, and I haven't heard it on any of our community messages.
Okay. Well, I would like to ask the question, will there be covenants restricting rentals, particularly in the homes as well as the townhomes?
I don't know if that had been anticipated. I know Andy Chandler is here from Lenar, but I don't know if that's been anticipated as a restriction.
Hello, this is Andy Chandler with Lenar. Appreciate everybody's time on this. And, you know, typically we would not automatically restrict rentals in our HOAs. We see that from time to time. So if that's a major concern, we can talk about that too.
I would think it would be a major concern because oftentimes when developments come in and there are several years that go by and people start renting them, and then it just has, to me, and in the past, it has a negative effect on the development.
Ms. Davis, I would say, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you raised a point in my mind. I don't disagree with you. Now, we might have a disagreement in opinions that if a community is designed as a rental community from day one, I think it's a whole different community than what we've seen through the years, where you have some homes that are not restricted from rental through the HOA, but they're for sale homes. And then you end up with, you may have a 100-lot community and say 30 of them all of a sudden are owned from absentee ownership.
Right.
And that can end up being, you could end up with a resident that is renting and really doesn't care about maintenance of the home, and the owner may live in Virginia somewhere.
Right. So
that is bad. Now, a rental community of single family homes is maintained from day one by a very strong, I mean, it's like an HOA on steroids, because they're run more like a modern day apartment community with on-site staff and everything else. Now, that being said, Ms. Davis, I'm not proposing that we do a rental community here. We've approached this deal as a for sale community.
Right.
So I would kind of defer to your the mayor and the council's decision on that.
Ms. Davis, would you yield for one second? I got a question. Mr. Whitmore, you haven't been the HOA president of Durham Lakes, and I'm aware of a few other HOAs. Isn't some of the in some of the HOA policies where it indicates that I want to say 20%, no more than 20% of your community can be rental property. Can you speak on that, having been a president of one of the most prominent subdivisions in our city?
Yes, sir. Actually, I was waiting until Ms. Davis got done, but I'll speak on it. In the covenants, it would be advisable to limit the amount of rentals. And again, you mentioned the number of 20%, Mayor, but if you have an active community, they would like to have it even less than 5%, to be quite honest with you, mm-hmm. because what happens if you don't have that threshold in there, you will end up getting some people in that will rent. And then also you would have some homeowners that may decide that they're going to move out. But if you're already at the max percentage for rentals, then it's going to be up to them to sell it versus renting as well, because you have no control of who comes in to rent the properties.
Right.
And those rentals can have a major impact on that community. So Ms. Davis was 100% correct in her line of questioning. And within the covenants, if they could spell out 5% rentals, that would help out the community, because once the builder is gone and they no longer have they're no longer the declarant, and it's turned over to the homeowners association, then it's kind of hard for them to come after the fact to try to put that in, because they may have anywhere in excess of 20-25% rentals already. So yes, that's correct. Yes. So
Ms. Davis, you still have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Councilman Whitmore. That is a major concern. We do have some properties now in the city of Fairburn that is very high in the rental percentages. So I would not like for this property to turn out that way. And it's a lot of ramifications for that. It's people that may own the home and rent it, and the renters are not interested in the city. They're not interested in, participating. They're not really interested in the property. It's hard to get them to come together to make sure that you preserve the property and everybody upkeep, keep the property up. So I think that's that would be a major impact on protecting this particular community to keep its high standards.
Ms. Davis, I appreciate your thoughts. Mr. Whitmore, I appreciate your input on that too. And like I said, we're certainly not opposed to that. I would propose that I'd like to what we typically do in our normal communities is have a 10%. And, you know, we could, there's almost two neighborhoods here. It's going to be one basically, but two different product types. And we could split that requirement to 5% on the single family detached and 5% on the attached. And I think that would keep those numbers down. Keep in mind on the townhome side that it's and on both sides, actually, the HOA will be you know, taking care of all the common area on the detached side. It'll take care of all the common area and the yard maintenance of the townhomes and everything else too on that side. So even in the event on the townhome side that we had some rentals, you wouldn't see what you're talking about in some of these other neighborhoods. So, like I said, I defer to you my request that maybe we do 10% and split it 5% on each side.
Okay.
Members of council, excuse me, I'm sorry, Ms. Okay. Ms. Davis, is that acceptable to you?
It seems acceptable to me. I would like to hear from other colleagues to see what their feelings are about it.
Yes, ma'am. And I was going to ask, does any member of council have an objection to what's been recommended by the vendor?
This is Councilman Smallwood.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And I just want to say, I don't have an objection, but I think that was excellent by Councilwoman Davis, because as Councilman Whitmore talked about, I was in a community where the developer, before I came to Fairburn, the developer left. We tried to get a hold of it, but by that time you had way over it, and it was 15% for my neighborhood. But like I said, it had ballooned way beyond that. So I am definitely in support with what Ms. Councilwoman Davis has proposed. Thank you, Councilwoman Davis.
Thank you, Smallwood. Thank you.
Does any other council member have a comment or regarding this project?
Yes, Mayor. This is Councilman Whitmore.
Go ahead, sir.
I believe that was Mr. Chandler that was speaking earlier?
Yes sir.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chandler, I'll be quite honest with you. I would like to see 5% only because what you will find out, and we have experienced here in this community alone, that without reducing those percentages to the lower end, it still sways up to the higher end. So I think if 5% was in your covenants, and if mayor and council agrees, I think that would be a more workable number versus the other.
Does any council member have an objection to the modified reduction to 5%?
Mayor Pro Tem Portis Jones?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I would agree with Councilman Whitmore about the 5% total. Because the one thing we want to encourage in this community and continue to encourage is home ownership, and we want stability in communities. I've had similar experiences that he's described, as well as Councilman Smallwood. So I would, and the HOA, although that may be in there, the 5%, if there's not a strong governance on it, there could be some issues on it as well. So putting it in the document is just the first step in that process. And I would agree that the lower end would be more workable. But let me ask Mr. Chandler, do you not have any properties either in the Atlanta area or in some of your other cities where the 5% rental is part of its covenant?
I'm sorry to have to say this. I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer that question. I certainly am with Lenar, but you're talking about a whole lot of communities and a whole lot of zoning hearings and a whole lot of special conditions. So I do know typically, you know, our standard HOA docs, like I said before, in that 10% range.
Mr. Heck, you had a comment. I'm sorry, Ms. Porter-Jones, hold on. I think he had a comment while you were talking, so I want to make sure we don't lose what he had to add.
The only thing I was going to say is just because of the kind of the division between the townhomes and the single family housing, the 5% is easier to track within each unit. But, you know, look, we're appreciative of your review, consideration, and hopeful approval. It's hard to spread 5% among both single family and townhomes. And that's why I think Andy was trying to put it where you could control the 5% in the single families separately from the 5% in the townhome. But I mean, I think we're subject to local government decision-making, and we understand that.
Mayor?
Hold on one second. Ms. Jones still has the floor.
No, so, I'm done, Mayor.
Okay, mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ms. Whitman.
So in consideration of what Mr. Heck said, then I would recommend 2% for the single family homes and 3% for the townhomes. And that way it'd be easier to track. And what I'm hearing, Mr. Heck and Mr. Chandler, you're saying typically that number could be 10%, but we also know that that number can be lower. So, and I think all mayor and council is trying to do now is just ensure that we put whatever safeguards that we can in place ahead of the build so that 5, 10, 15 years down the road, this will not be an issue. And those documents, those covenants is what they're going to be living by. That's going to be their law, subject to also the city of Fairbairn's law as well. So I think if you say 2% for the home, single family homes, 3% for the townhomes, it would be doable.
Does any other council member have a comment as it relates to the proposed 3% and 2%? Does any council member have an objection to what Mr. Whitmore has proposed? Okay. Seeing that
Mayor Avery,
yes, ma'am.
I would like to also bring up another situation that also happens in developments like this is that, and is actually happening with homeowners here. I mean, I receive almost once a week somebody trying to buy my house and it's not even up for sale. And what I'm figuring out that there are investors wanting to buy up property and maybe rent it out. So I would also like to, and Mr. Whitmore, I don't know all the ramifications with this. I've never, you know, my home is not in an HOA situation, but what can we do also to require investors to submit lease agreements to the HOA?
Well, Ms. Davis, that is something that is usually in the covenants and within the management company, because for here, for example, everything has to be submitted through our management company, and there's a fee prior to closing as well. So you're right there, and if you remember the fall of the market, and I think this is during Mayor Avery's time, if my memory serves me correctly, you had imitation homes that was going throughout the metropolitan Atlanta area, buying up everything. I mean, you have it right out there on, I can't even think of the community where Ellen lives out now. There's a
Meadow Glen.
There's a lot of rentals out there now.
Yes, 50%.
Exactly. So there's no clause in their covenants. So, but if you had the 2% and 3% threshold in there, that's going to block out investors, because once they see that, and once the community already has their 2 and 3, that no one else can come in.
Great.
So I think if you
thank you.
Mayor, I do have a couple other things I would like to address.
Ms. Davis, are you can finish?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Whitmore.
Okay, Mr. Heck and Mr. Chandler, not sure who's gonna answer this, but as I was looking at your rendering here, I'm noticing that in the townhomes, you don't have any additional parking. Traditionally, what happens is people do come to visit people that live in townhomes, and you only have a one-car garage, which you have no parking for visitors whatsoever. Have you looked at that? And if you have not, is that something that you can look at to address the parking issue that they will be having within their townhome community?
We're willing to look at that. I'm not sure, and we do have some engineering representation here too on the design side, and I'm not an engineer. We meet the requirements of the ordinance. I do know that there is a little extra parking in both areas where mail kiosk and then is on the detached side and some additional parking spaces on the, where the little amenity areas and the kiosk is on the townhome side. So and that is in addition to what the requirements are already. So, you know, I'd just like to kind of hear what your thoughts may be about that.
Well, my thought is actually, you really should be looking at additional parking. Especially since you only have a one-car garage, all right? And usually when people visit, and we do have family and friends that do come and visit us. And for example, and I'll use my community as an example, there is no on-street parking. So therefore, if I can't get the 4 or 5 cars in my driveway, I have to get permission for them to park on the street overnight, and or they will be ticketed and or told away. So I see the potential of that happening with this community with the lack of additional parking. So that is definitely something that I would like to see as a elected official. And then as I go through, I see here that your Lennar is 1,840 square feet. Is that correct? 1,840 represents?
Yes, on the single family detached, yes.
Okay, so on that, what are you looking at your price point for that particular unit?
Our base price are targeted to start in the 320s.
And that one will be 320, okay. And then moving over to your 2211, your Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be?
Well, Atlanta, Boston, Columbia, they typically run $10,000 to $15,000 spreads on base pricing. They can go up, you know, with options added and stuff too.
So you're looking what, 340?
Yeah. Well, you know, it like I said, they're and the actual final pricing hasn't been set yet, and the world we're living in today, 320 may be a pipe dream. But you know, typically we would look at a base pricing on a base model of, if it was at 320, the Atlanta, the Boston would be say 230 to 235, and the Columbia would be $10,000 to $15,000 higher than that.
I'm sorry. So you're backing up. So you're saying that the Atlanta would be 230 now?
You saying 230 or 330?
I'm sorry. I meant three.
Okay.
Yeah. There, 320 is the, it was a projected base price, 320, 330, and 340. I think what you're going to see by the time we get there, that it will be higher than that.
Yes, with the amenities and stuff that they want to put in the houses. Absolutely. Okay. And also on your townhouses, you said they're going to start at what, sir?
270 on the, and I may get this mixed up. We have St. Thomas and St. Kitts floor plan. They're 270 is the starting price on the townhomes.
the 270 with the 1666.
Yes.
And on the 1787.
I think that one, I think we have that pegged for 280, and then the end units typically carry about a $15,000 premium.
Okay. All right. And okay, and also I see you have your walking trails, your pocket parks, open space, green space. So do you have a space identified for slides and swings and everything?
No, not specifically. Certainly willing to look at that if you think that enhances it. We're not sure that it does in our experience. You know, we found that gathering places really get much more attendance than, you know, traditional a pool and tennis courts and things like that, unless you're in a really big community. Okay. That can support an, you know, a very expensive amenity package.
Yeah. And you're looking at your, well, your amenities, basically all you have is, based on what I see here, is for the townhouse area, they're going to maintain all the landscaping, cutting grass and everything. Mm-hmm. Over on the house side, there's nothing over there either. So I don't see really any amenities for this whole project.
The townhomes and the single family detached will both have access to the amenity area that's in the townhome area.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
They would have, both of them would have access to what's identified as the amenity area on the site plan.
Okay, and your amenities is going to be what?
Just a park type area with a walking trail.
Well, I would ask that you would revisit that as well, sir.
We're talking about a lot of people.
That's not really taking care of the community. I mean, you leaving them with, if I can use the phrase, bare bones, unquote. That's what they're getting. And if you're going to be, if you have price points of 330 plus,
yeah,
you have no amenities, that's not, I don't think that would fly. I wouldn't move into there. I would be looking for a pool. I'd be looking for a playground. I'd be looking for the common amenities that you generally have in HOA, POA type communities, because you don't have anything here.
Mr. Whitman, would you yield for 1 second?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chandler, let me ask you a question. Just kind of following up on what Mr. Whitmore just mentioned, as it relates to amenities, looking at the square footage of the area that I'm looking at on the map, my question maybe to you, what are some of the other amenity things that you've brought in some of your previous projects that you feel that can accommodate that square footage or that area that we're looking at part of site plan?
You know, the things that we really see today that, to tell you the truth, one of the biggest amenities is a dog park. And, you know, an area where people can come with their dogs, it ends up being a nice community gathering spot. It has some little, you know, little features that dogs can play around, and people tend to gather and talk and commune. And it's one of the, we incorporate that quite often nowadays, to tell you the truth.
And that with the dog park, my question would be, if I've got children, which you're going to have in this area, my question would be, is the dog park as such that if I don't like animals or don't have animals, that area is, let's say, 30% dog park, and you know, is it such that it's amenable to both people, pet lovers and pet haters?
I'm not sure that the park itself would. Incorporation of a playground area, absolutely.
I mean, just kind of along the lines of what Mr. Whitmore is saying, in our neighborhoods, again, in some of our prominent areas, We're paying $300,000+ for a house. I expect to get more than just, in this case, just somewhere to come and sit on the ground. So go ahead, sir.
Mayor, just looking at the plan that they have here, if mayor and council would look at the entrance coming off of 138, they have that open space there that they can actually tie off and have a dog park and a section off for a playground area as some amenities. That's mm-hmm. one. So that would be a true compromise to at least bring them up a couple of notches, especially since they're not going to have a swimming pool.
Right. Mr. Chandler,
I have a question, man. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Hold on one second. I'll come to you, Ms. Joe. Mr. Chandler, I know we're making recommendations. What I'm trying to make sure, is this something that you'll actually consider?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Ms.
I just wanted to know, where's the trail? Attorney Hecht mentioned the trail, walking trail, when he was describing the project. And I see, Mr. Chandler, you didn't mention that when the question was asked about amenities. So where is that? And what would that entail?
Actually, Ms. Chandler, I think I didn't mention it, but what it's proposed as right now is just like a walking track within that amenity area. But, you know, if we can expand, if we can use that amenity and you'll allow us to expand some of the amenities into the open space too. I mean, the things that we're talking about now with, you know, all of a sudden we got a gathering area with some park benches, the pocket park concept, the track within that, a dog park, and a playground area. You know, we're starting to have a nice little amenity package, and we're okay with that.
Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portage Jones.
Yes.
If you look at over there where townhouse 69 through 83 is at.
Yes.
One mm-hmm. circle area is the walking park, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But again, it's small.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't yeah. have
much. And I believe that those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or 6 parking spaces there. That's right there by the mail kiosk. Is that correct, Mr. Chandler?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's just for the cars to pull up, get their mail, and leave. So with that additional area, I think you can do something with both of those areas to make it more attractive for future residents to move into that community.
So Councilman Whitmore, would you propose then some conditional items to add to the list of conditions, yes, upon approval?
Okay, I can. And just walk with me through this. So if I miss it, please chime in. I know we talked about a lot here thus far. But my additional conditions, Ms. Peek, would be to use that open space coming off of State Road 138. And also the identified, free play area where they have the walking trail.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those areas we can kind of look at to put in, incorporate some play equipment along with the walking trail, along with the dog park, which would probably be in that open area as you're coming off of 138, and also some additional amenities over in that area as well. That would be one recommendation. Of course, you already have the recommendation in reference to the covenants, looking at the 5% max on rentals, 2% for the single family houses, 3% on the townhouses. I'm sorry?
I'm saying yes, I'm agreeing.
Okay. The
parking.
The parking, yes.
And parking.
let me see, how many you got? 120, is it 112? So if you got 112, you should, let me yield this. Is Mr. Thompson still on the line?
Lester
Thompson, yeah, okay.
Mr. Thompson, are you on the line?
Okay. Probably not. Well, let me yield to Ms. Tarika Peaks. Ms. Tarika Peaks for a...
Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. Lester, and you, with your experience with the amount of houses and the amount of townhouses that we have going into this parcel, what would be your recommendation for additional parking, sir?
For additional parking?
Yes, sir.
I would probably recommend a 2-car garage for each lot. But I think they meet the minimum parking requirements for both the townhome and the single family. But to accommodate that, I would definitely recommend 2-car garage for each lot.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's another discussion that we have on another property that's coming back. Well, maybe it's coming back before the mayor and council. But even with the townhouses, with my recommendation with that particular property proposal, I was recommending 2-car garages, even with the townhouses. And then that would take care of the parking issue. So that would be something else that Mr. Heck and Mr. Chandler can look at, changing the spec from 1-car to 2-car garages for the townhouses. And then that should suffice with the parking requirements.
Our product's not, we couldn't do a 2-car garage on this product.
Because?
But it's all front entry product, and you can't have a 2-car garage on a 20-foot townhome.
Yeah, so in other words, what you're telling me is that the width of these townhomes is mighty small.
Yeah.
It's 20 feet, and it's a very typical townhome. It's the same size as what our neighboring townhome community is to the southeast of us. That was part of the Avalon community.
And meets the ordinance.
Yeah. I understand that. Well, we need to find some parking somewhere, because, again, I think with your current proposal, we're going to run into issues where our PD is going to be called all the time. And this can be avoided if, in the planning stages, we're able to address this and come up with a plan that's doable and suitable for mayor, council, your business product, and future residents in the city of Fairburn. And that's what this mayor and council is looking at. We want to ensure that we look to the future to help to assist our future Fairburnites that will buy into this community. Last thing we want to hear is, how could mayor and council allow this bill to take place, and they really didn't think this all the way through? So this is an opportunity for you to go back to the drawing board and try to come up with something more acceptable based on all the comments that you heard here this evening.
Question, Mayor?
Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, is there an opportunity to have parking designated area for overflow cars and or for visitors? Is there space for that?
Can I make a suggestion? I'm not an engineer, but I'm just looking at the site plan, and across from the parking by the mail kiosk, could there be some spaces across from that to create some parking spaces? And also on row D, lot number, looks like 96.
I think it's 98.
98, yeah. Some spaces there. You look like you may be able to get about 6 or 7 across from the mail kiosk, maybe another 6 or 7 on Road D next to 98. Mm-hmm. Maybe some additional parking at the open space where the dog park is proposed, maybe a couple of spaces there. I would recommend using some of those empty spaces in between the buildings to maybe fill in for some parking.
Tariq, I believe that, you know, that we could probably create 20 spaces on this side over here without creating a parking lot in the current site plan and in areas like you were talking about.
And there's an area, if you look at the very bottom right there, lot 64 through 68, that space right there in that bottom left-hand corner. I mean, that between that one, actually, if you look all the way, and I don't know if you can get across that stormwater. Mm-hmm. You can't get across that. But there's more. I mean, I'm looking at the different areas that have been mentioned. There's easily 20, 25 plus spaces. I'm looking in the upper left-hand corner right here, right number 10, lot 10, 11, 12. I'm not sure the line behind lot number 42. I'm not sure if there's anything you can use that behind those buildings, but it looks like it's amenable. Lester, your input on that, sir? And Lester, go away.
No, I would agree there seems to be some available space. I think they just need to go back and revisit that based on the input they received from mayor and council. So,
okay. Is there any other questions or comments by council?
Everything I had there.
Okay, my question, here's my question before we, I guess my question will be, will, and Mr. Whitmore, since actually you and Ms. Jones actually, well, actually Ms. Davis as well had the questions. My question would be, if the vendor, if you're able to approve this with the vendor under the conditions that the vendor brings you X number of parking spaces back, or what is the pleasure of the board? Or the council, excuse me.
Well, it is my recommendation. That's why I asked Councilman Whitmore if he would, state the conditions. So
yes, ma'am.
if the developer is willing to accept those conditions, and bring those back, then I think the project would be in a position for us to approve if he accepts those additional conditions. Do you agree, Councilman Whitmore?
I wholeheartedly agree, Mayor Pro Tem.
And Councilwoman Davis, do you agree?
Yes, if all the conditions that we've talked about are listed, yes, absolutely.
Mr. Heck, can I just ask you, sir, Mr. Heck and Mr. Chandler, are these conditions as such that you feel like you can accommodate them, or do we need to hold item?
Andy, it's an engine, and Wendy, you're there too.
I think, well, Bradley Dunkel is our actual design engineer that Bradley and Wendy work together. I think Bradley's here too, if we need to get his input. I'm fine with the conditions we've talked about, but I don't know what the condition of parking is, Mayor Avery. I like I said, I think without any problem, we could commit to putting, 20 to 25 parking spaces. Bradley, I'd like your input if you think I'm overstepping my bounds without much trouble.
Yes, if you please, Bradley Dunkel with Rochester and Associates. I took a quick look at the site plan as we were discussing it, or as the council was discussing it, and I think between 20 and 25 would be achievable for additional off-street parking, as the council mentioned, in some various areas. They'd not all be in one area, but they would be spread out along the proposed roads within the townhome area.
Okay. We've heard from the two developers, and my question would be that the three, Ms. Jones, Ms. Davis, and Mr. Whitmore, just want to make sure Mr. Heath, Mr. Smallwood, And Mr. Palin, do you have any objections to what's being proposed as relates to the conditions?
Councilman Smallwood, I don't have any.
Mr. Heath?
Councilman Heath, I don't have any either.
And Mr. Palin? Mr. Palin? Okay, he may have fallen off.
No, he's there. He's just muted. I'm trying to get him to unmute.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Oh, tell him to give me a thumbs up if he can, if he agrees. Okay. Well, it looks like members of council, I'll wait as Mr. Palin comes on. It looks like we've got, in this case, a project before you with set conditions. Ms. Peak, I want to just make sure I say it correctly. I guess in this case, the conditions that address parking. I want to make sure I say it correctly, Ms. Peak. Which about parking?
I would propose, based on the engineer's recommendation, 20 to 25 off-street parking spaces.
Okay, and then of course a dog park. Is there the motion has been made and is properly on the floor with set conditions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
I just want to make sure that those other conditions that we spoke about earlier is identified.
I apologize, Ms. Whitmore. You're correct. Ms. Pete, I want to make sure we're talking about all the different conditions, not just the parking.
I can state those just to make sure that we are clear and everybody's clear.
Yes, ma'am, if you don't mind, for the record.
Okay, so condition number four, we're going to add playground and dog park as the two amenities to be added. 20 to 25 off-street parking spaces. And then 2%, and I want to make sure I have this one correct, 2% rental cap on the single family and 3% rental cap on the townhomes.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I think that was all I captured, those three.
Okay, that's
we
what
added
I
added to the 13 conditions that we currently have.
Okay, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Next item.
Was that the variance and the rezoning, Mayor? Just asking.
I'm sorry, sir. What, sir?
That was on both the rezoning and the variance.
Yes.
The variance. Okay.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity to present to you.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Appreciate it. We're looking forward to working with you guys down there.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you. Mayor and City Council. I'm a citizen of Fairburn, and I was in that 500 foot.
Hold up, sir. We passed public comment, and during the public hearing, we had a public hearing for people that were for and against this project. I'm sorry, sir. At this time, we've already passed that part of the meeting where public input. Yeah. I'm sorry, sir. Okay. We're now on the next item.
The next item is going to the office of the mayor for board appointment for planning and zoning.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Excuse me. At this point, you have before you a recommendation for a young lady to be appointed to the planning and zoning commission. You have a resident of Devers. This is one of my recommendations in my efforts of the lady's background in particular as it relates to having worked on the as a past chairman in the board of South Fulton Chamber. In my position, where she would add substantial experience to our board and in this case, the planning and zoning board. What is the pleasure of the board? Is there a motion to appoint Ms. Devers?
I make a motion that we accept the recommended appointment of Ms. LaVon Devers to our planning and zoning board.
Second, James Whitmore.
Okay, is there any comments or questions by council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Yeah, the next item before the appointment of the legal organ for 2022, which will be the South Fulton Neighbor newspaper. You have before you members of council appointed a legal organ, South Fulton Neighbor newspaper. Is there a motion?
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
Okay, second. That motion has been made and properly seconded. Any questions or comments by council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. The next item you have before you is for a budget, in this case, for a budget amendment, a mayor's executive assistant in this case. You'll see that items in there in this case is actually a lateral move from the marketing to the mayor's office due to the fact that upon my arrival, the former executive assistant had actually departed. I had to actually have an executive assistant immediately because of a lot of the administrative services and items that need to be addressed. So that's why this item is being brought before you. You have before you approval of budget amendment for the mayor's executive assistant. Is there a motion?
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
Mr. Smallwood, second that motion. Any comments or questions by council? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Our next item number four in this case, you have before you an applicant. One second, make sure I read it right. You have before you a final plat for 2021128 Highway 74 in Meadow Glen Parkway. We've already had a public hearing on it. So in this case, you have before you an item for Highway 74 in Meadow Glen. Is there a motion to bring it to the floor? That is.
I make a motion that we bring to the floor the discussion of the final plat on Highway 74 and Meadow Glen Parkway.
Is there a second?
Councilwoman Davis, second.
Okay, motion been made and properly second. Any questions by council or comments?
Yes, Mayor, I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Yes, so I want to thank the developer and the team and the landowner for hearing us and our concerns and our issues, and that they were willing to work with us in revising the final plat from 3 to 2. I think that is more workable for the area and for the vision that we have for our community. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments by council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. The next item will be by
Mayor,
the city.
Mayor, if I might, I thought the motion was to bring the matter to the floor. So I guess I just want to make sure when I report
yeah,
back.
That was the motion.
You have to bring it to the floor to actually even have it discussed. So that's why I didn't assume that it was going to pass. I was trying to make sure we got it to the floor.
All right.
That was quicker than you normally.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It passed.
All right. So the plat is approved.
Yes, sir.
All right. You're good.
All right. Thank you. And just on behalf of my client, I'd like to say that they are looking forward to working with the city on their development, and glad we could get this one done. And they're looking forward to moving forward.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be sure to tell
thank
them
you.
We say thank you.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I will do that.
Mr. City Administrator, your next two items are yours.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Our next item, Clerk, can you sound the next item, please?
Yes, this comes from the City Administrator's Office, Mr. Tony Phillips, to discuss Mayor and Council to approve the telework policy.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The policy before you as offered is, pardon me? Good evening. The policy before you is to implement a telework policy where currently none exist. It will address work productivity, significant changes in the culture of work for municipalities like Fairburn, and provide a viable means to address the impact of the pandemic on city operations. I won't read through the entire policy. It is in your packet. Hopefully you've had the chance to review that. But the policy basically addresses telework in three basic categories, which are requested teleworking, mandated teleworking, and hybrid teleworking. And so each of those categories applies differently. This would only apply to employees who are full-time permanent employees and essentially connects to what we refer to as non-essential employees. There are certain categories of staff that would not qualify for telework based on the essential nature of their positions. The policy is fairly straightforward. When I refer to the nature or the culture of work changing, as we all know, the past 2 years has changed a lot for many municipalities and businesses in general. This provides us with the flexibility should it become necessary to allow certain employees to be mandated to work from home under this teleworking policy. And the requested teleworking policy is reviewed on a case-by-case basis and approved by me as the city manager. So at that point, I will pause to see if there are any specific questions in reference to the policy that I can clarify or provide additional insight on.
Members of council, does anyone have a question as relates to
the policy?
I'm sorry, who's speaking?
Councilman Palin.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
He was just checking to see if he was
Okay. Is any other, anyone at council have a question about this item? Okay. Mr. City Manager, would you just let them, would you kind of expound? This was kind of the first step in what is going to actually be a multi-step policy. And I apologize that if you mentioned that.
Certainly. Thank you for that, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor is referring to a ultimate COVID plan citywide. And so this is kind of a precursor to that and will fit into our overall citywide COVID plan. I think it's really necessary for us to have a plan that allows us to be able to pivot as the conditions of the pandemic change. We all thought we were in one place last fall, and then along came the Omicron variant. And as we all saw, we had to pivot fairly quickly. So the COVID plan that staff and I are currently working on, which will come forward to council likely in a work session initially, will provide an opportunity for us to craft a overall COVID plan for all citywide operations that will talk about not only the impacts of the pandemic, but as conditions hopefully improve going forward, the stages of reopening, which will be based on public health guidelines. And so that will be coming forward to council in the foreseeable future so that we can establish a roadmap for how we will manage through this pandemic and going forward.
Great. Mayor, Councilwoman,
yes,
Mayor Pro Tem Portis-Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Mr. Phillips. Could you speak a little bit about the plan for our IT, for technology, to ensure that we have a high security for employees that are teleworking?
Thank you for that question, Mayor Pro Tem. That's excellent information. All necessary proprietary or confidential city information is required to perform essential job duties must be accessible in a secure manner. We are currently working with our IT provider to ensure that before telework is approved for any non-essential employee, that security profile is in place. That could be accomplished through a VPN, and I won't get too far into that, but a secure connection to ensure that all secure city information and proprietary information can be worked through a secure connection. And so we are confident working with VC3 that we'll be able to accomplish that. And it is a necessity before telework is approved.
And I would also ask that you review equipment as well to ensure that equipment offers the security that's necessary.
That's a very good point. And it is written into the policy that there must be adequate equipment available. There are certain levels of staff for which equipment is provided. Beyond that, employees who seek to work telework on a case-by-case basis must be able to validate that they have the appropriate equipment in order to meet the requirements to do so.
Any other member of council have a comment?
This is Pat. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Nope. Okay. Did you have a comment, sir?
No, we were having problems with the phone. That's all.
Okay.
Councilwoman Davis.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I just want to make a comment. I just want to thank Mr. Phillips for getting this done. It is definitely needed. And I know there are other steps that's going to come behind this with the COVID plan and stuff. So I just want to say thank you.
Most certainly.
Any other member of council have a comment? Okay, you have before you the establishment of a telework policy. Is there a motion?
So move, Councilwoman Davis.
Is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem Portis Jones.
Okay, the motion has been made and properly second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Mr. City Manager, you go ahead and your next item.
Madam Clerk, if you could sound the next item, please.
Yes, sir. This line item will come from the City Administrator's Office. Mr. Tony Phillips asking Mayor and Council to approve the budget amendment for Assistant City Administrator position establishment. Mr. Phillips.
Again, Mayor and Council, this item is to establish an Assistant City Administrator position for the City of Fairburn. If you look at cities our size and larger, this position has become an operational norm throughout most municipalities in our area. It will allow us to effectively manage operations, productivity, and efficiency across all of our operational departments, inclusive of our established policies, while ensuring sound fiscal stewardship. When we begin to look at the breadth of the different operational aspects of the City of Fairburn, there's a lot to manage. And so we want to make sure that we're doing so effectively, everything from our capital program, including the American Rescue Plan, T-SPLOS funding, as well as all the day-to-day operations of our utility departments, public safety. This position will help us to effectively administer all of those operational details. And again, it's become an operational norm. You can look at most of the jurisdictions around us, and certainly jurisdictions and municipalities of a like size as the City of Fairburn. And as I mentioned earlier, this has become a fairly standard operational norm. I think this will aid us in elevating our service delivery to residents and doing so in a way that is organized, consistent, and fiscally responsible. And so I would ask council for approval of this item. The budget impact for the current fiscal year is $2,795. That has been validated by our finance director. And with that, I will take any questions that you may have.
And let me bring the item to the floor. You have before you, member of council, the request for council to approve a budget amendment to add an assistant city administrator position. Is there a motion?
So moved, Councilman Heath.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
Okay, is there any comments or questions regarding this item? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Mr. City Administrator, you want to give that update?
Yes, sir. Madam Clerk, can you sound the next item, please?
Yes, this item will come from the City Administrator, Mr. Tony Phillips, to discuss his update to Mayor and Council.
Again, Mayor and Council, let me pause at this moment to express my deep gratitude and how humbled and honored I am by the confidence of this mayor and council in appointing me to the city administrator's position. I am excited about the path forward. I've already begun working on a day-to-day basis with all of our department heads. We have come together as a team. We had our first staff meeting last week. There's a bright future ahead, and I'm excited about what we will be able to do for the residents of the great city of Fairburn. So again, I want to express my gratitude. And with that, let me go through the memorandum from my office by means of update for this council meeting. Now, moving forward, there will be a monthly report from the city administrator's office that you will see coming forward. But with that, let me touch base on a couple of the highlights that have been provided via the memorandum I just referenced. The first update is on our inclement weather plans. On the 14th of this month, when I initially forwarded that information to mayor and council and to our staff, there is a summary of all of our operational preparations. In the case of inclement weather, it spans all of our departments that have some obligation to respond in the event of inclement weather. So that plan is now in place. And I'm working with all of our department heads. Whenever we are aware of inclement weather, we're prepared to operate that plan and to put it into place. We're connected with the Atlanta Fulton County Emergency Management Association so that we get those updates on a regular basis that helps to guide our decisions around inclement weather. And so that gives us a protocol now so that we can activate that when necessary. Next, I wanted to take a few moments to talk about my tour of city facilities. Today makes day 11, but over that time, I've taken the opportunity to visit all of our city facilities. One in particular became an area of concern, and that was Fire Station 21. When I walked that facility, it was not in a condition that I think is representative of the city of Fairburn. There were a number of areas of concern that are detailed in the memo, and I will answer any questions if you would like to talk specifically about what those areas were. But I took the step to have our building inspector, Mr. Harvey Stokes, tour the facility with myself and the fire chief to begin to assess how we could move forward. Now, many of these issues are not structural in nature. We're talking things about ceilings, lighting, a few electrical issues, things that are cosmetic in some senses, but do have day-to-day impact on the operations of that fire station. As you know, our fire personnel have to reside in that fire station. I think there's a certain standard that we need to maintain for all of our public safety personnel. We've begun the process with Mr. Stokes of assessing what those needs are and developing a scope of work. And the intent would be to take those out to a quote so that we can get several vendors to quote for us what it would take to bring that station up to speed. Our goal is to get that accomplished over the next 30 days. Again, these are not largely structural issues, but they are important. I think it's important that one, we maintain a standard for public safety, and two, that we send a message to all city staff about the way we do business in the city of Fairburn. So that will be moving forward. There'll be more information coming in the near future about the steps we'll be taking to bring Fire Station 21 up to speed.
Is it appropriate to ask a question or make a comment?
Oh, most certainly. Go right ahead, Mayor Pro Tem.
Yes, well, relative to the fire department specifically, I know that they have been short-staffed for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking if you could include in your next report what the status of that is and what's the plan to make them whole, to recruit and so that they have a full complement and all of the required training that's needed as well. So if you'll provide us with a full report regarding the fire department specifically, I'd appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I'll ensure that you have that information by our next meeting.
Thank you.
In addition to that, Mayor Pro Tem, I will tell you that staffing is a key operational priority for us. Our vacancy rate is higher than what is acceptable to me as a city administrator across multiple departments. Public safety is always a priority, but anytime our vacancy rate is too high, it affects our service delivery in everything from our streets department to utilities. So I'm currently actively working with our human resources staff to begin to develop a recruitment and staffing plan that will not only address your question specifically to the fire department, but our vacancy rate across the city as well. I believe the mayor did reference this in his State of the City speech at the last meeting. And so we are actively working on that. So you'll have that information specific to the fire department. Please know we see that as a priority operationally. We want to make sure that all positions that are currently budgeted are filled in an appropriate manner with qualified candidates. That really begins with making sure that recruiting effectively. The culture of work, as I referenced earlier, has changed, not only due to the pandemic, just due to a lot of changes both from municipalities and private sector businesses as well. We have to be able to be responsive to that and recruit in a way that allows us to source good candidates and then get them into positions with the city of Fairburn. So we are working on that, and I'll ensure that you have the information about the fire department at our next meeting.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to know. Yes, I'd love to know about the city as a whole. So if you can provide it to us all at once, or if you can do it in parts, we will welcome that information. So thank you so much for that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that input. The next update is on our health insurance coverage. Our current health insurance provider, United Healthcare, we're projecting that there's likely going to be, based on the claims we had over the past year, a roughly 20% or more increase in those premiums. Now, increases year over year are not unusual. That's a little higher than we typically would have seen in previous years. And so the best option we've determined is to go to market to see what other viable options there are for the city. We are doing that now through BKS, our broker that assists in that process. Our intent is to bring that information forward in a work session to council at the next opportunity to present the findings and then to move it to an agenda so that you can make an informed decision as to the best option for us moving forward into the next fiscal year.
Mr. Manager, can I just add to the other concern, just from information, as it relates to the health insurance update. We found out that several the ambulance service and transport fees are just astronomical. I believe Ms. Davis can speak to that as well. And it's just, that's not the first step. That she's actually not the only employee that mentioned that to me before I even got elected. And coincidentally, we just decided to look into this, but this health insurance right now is killing someone that has to be transported. Even though the city of Fairburn has ambulances, we have to still the Department of EMS, that's another whole stir. But we're having to look at this, not just for multiple reasons. I just wanted you to know that.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for that. And Councilwoman Davis has communicated with me in reference to that concern. One of the things we'll do as we look at market opportunities moving forward is to look at the coverage options as well to ensure that they are providing the type of coverage that is suitable for our staff. I will tell you that as it relates to ambulance fees, there are several elements that connect to that. One of those is that most of our insurance providers have in-network fees and out-of-network fees. And the responses often to ambulance service connect to services that may not be considered in-network. And that increases the fee significantly to a point where, as we currently are situated, it becomes exorbitant and oftentimes is beyond what most working folks can afford. So based on the input from Councilwoman Davis and others, we are having a keen eye towards that as we move forward to see how we can best position that as we look at the overall amenable cost for healthcare coverage. And so it is a key issue among many that we're looking at, but we'll certainly take that into consideration. We've talked briefly about the telework policy that's referenced in the city administrator's update as well. The next issue I wanted to mention is, as I referenced just a moment ago, we would like to reestablish council work sessions. The reestablishment of regular council work sessions as needed from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. On the second and fourth Monday of each month, effective February 14th. This will allow significant issues, policies, and other substantive matters to be vetted by council in advance of moving them to an upcoming council agenda. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the work session format. I just think it's a good vehicle for us to be able to dialogue with mayor and council around specific issues, present information, answer questions in a work session format, so that by the time these items move to the agenda for consideration, we've had a chance to receive some input and questions from mayor and council and can make the necessary adjustments. So hopefully that expedites and provides a platform for an informed decision by mayor and council when it becomes time for it to move to an agenda. Next.
Question?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, go right ahead.
Yes. Why did you qualify it as needed, rather than having it as a standing meeting time like we've operated in the past?
It is a standard meeting time. And so that wording may not have been the best word craft, Mayor Pro Tem. Okay. And so that is the intent, for it to be all a standing meeting. And so it won't vary from meeting to meeting. It will be a standing meeting moving forward.
All right, so we'll delete as needed then.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Next, I wanted to spend a brief moment talking about operational efficiency. In the initial review of city departmental operations, which is ongoing, we've been able to identify an approximate $1,000 savings in the deployment of city cell phones. There were a number, and that number has actually gone north of $1,000 now, of city cell phones that we were still paying monthly fees for employees that had not been on staff in the city for quite some time. That's just one small example. And I mentioned that only in the context of our effort moving forward is to be sure that we are being good stewards of taxpayer dollars. And that means we have to make sure that things like that don't fall through the cracks. We need to protect taxpayer dollars the same way we do our own. And so my directive to staff is to be efficient, to be good stewards of taxpayer money. There will be other examples coming forward, But I mention that only in the respect that that is a key focus for us as an operational team to make sure that we are doing so with efficiency and being fiscally responsible while simultaneously elevating the productivity and service delivery for our residents. Lastly, I mentioned this a little earlier, beginning on February 28th, there will be a monthly city administrator's report as part of the second council meeting of each month. This report will also include a summary of your departmental monthly reports. And so look forward to that information coming forth and will be ongoing each month going forward. With that, that concludes the city administrator's update. If there are any additional questions, I would be happy to entertain them at this time.
Are there any council members that have any additional questions regarding the city administrator's report? Okay, seeing none, we'll go now to council comments. I'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Portis Jones.
Yes, Mayor. I just a couple things. I just wanted to take this opportunity to publicly welcome and congratulate our new city attorney, Mr. Starkey. I haven't had a chance to speak with you as yet. But we will have a conversation. But again, welcome and look forward to working with you. And then second, wanted to congratulate Ms. Devers on her appointment to our Planning and Zoning Commission. I agree, Mayor, it is a great addition to the commission to be a part of a team that is outstanding so they can only get better and go higher. So thank you for that. And that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Smallwood.
I don't have anything. It's a wonderful meeting. Love you all. Thank you.
Mr. Whitmore.
Just echo Mayor Pro Tem with the attorney and Ms. Devers and nothing else, Mayor.
Okay, Mr. Heath.
Just very appreciative of the fact that we got a city manager, and it sounds like that he has quite a few things that I have thought about for some time, and I just very appreciative of that. And also the new city attorney, Mr. Starkey, I plan on getting with you a little bit later and finding out more about yourself. So at any rate, everyone have a great night and a great week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Ms. Davis.
I would just like to ditto my colleagues in welcoming the attorney, Starkey, and the new appointee to the Planning and Zoning. And that's all I have to say tonight. Thank you.
And Mr. Pat Taylor.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
finally I can be heard. Well, as usual, even though I can be heard, I don't have anything to say. The rest of my colleagues have touched upon all the appropriate bases and said the great things, and I'm in agreement with them, and on we go. And I look forward to going further down the road and making this a better place to be. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. City Attorney, I want to make sure, do we have an executive session?
We do not.
We do not. Okay, I'm going to just make sure. Okay, I have a few comments and then we can close. The first thing I want to mention, I'll bring back to council. There was some additional information I needed. You'll bring back to council the amendment to fund, the assistant city clerk position, at which time later the job will be advertised and you'll be brought at that later point of city, the recommendation for city clerk. You'll be brought back a recommendation to amend the city administrator's credit card limit. I do remember in 20, and I apologize if I got the year wrong, but I believe it was in 2016, we reduced the city administrator's spending authority from 20, I believe, down to 5. And I don't know if there was any recommendation between that time and today as it relates to increase. My concern has to do more with our first week in office, literally having to deal with not only COVID situations, but dealing with possible inclement weather, What I'm trying to make sure that under no circumstances that we have a situation where the city administrator cannot purchase any items or purchase, or in this case, financially support what turns out to be an emergency situation. Anything that exceeds the purchasing requirement code dollar values will be brought back to you in the form of a ratification. So there won't be anything spent that surpasses our purchasing code limits. That will not be seen by council. It will be, that's a requirement that I have, that they'll be brought back to council for ratification. But again, those limits are strictly in our efforts to ensure that we have any money for unexpected emergencies, especially in the situation right now with our COVID as well as the inclement weather that hit us technically twice last week. I'm going to also bring back to you an actual contract for the city administrator and the